Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Over the past number of weeks, Brian O'Connell has been looking at the issue of people with a mental health challenge and an addiction and the difficulties they face accessing services. Now, there have been several commitments made to address this issue, including a promise to set 12 dual diagnosis network teams around the country, as well as inpatient services. But concerns are now being raised as to whether the government will follow through on its commitments and when. And Brian is with me now. Hello, Brian.
Morning, Claire.
Tell us about the 12 teams that are meant to be in place around the country.
Well, up until recent years, we essentially separated out mental health services and addiction services. But then there was a recognition this hadn't worked for a cohort who may have a mental health challenge or a diagnosis and an active addiction. So in a vision for change, we brought services closer together through the setting up of dual diagnosis network teams for adults and adolescents. We're meant to have 12 of these adult teams, as you said, as well as hubs and inpatient residential services. We know now just two adolescent service teams have been set up and two adult teams are set up. These are not fully staffed, some of them. There's little detail around when the remaining teams will be in place. And these teams, really, Claire, were seen as key in terms of addressing this issue of dual diagnosis.
Now, I know the issue has been raised politically and a lot of questions are being asked about government policy, Brian. One of the two adult teams in place is in Cork City, though, and you went along to visit this week.
The location, it's a very bright, newly refurbished floor of a building in the heart of a busy retail park in Cork City. It's, well, 10 minutes from the city centre if you walk. Services already exist in the building. So the dual diagnosis team, Claire, will take up one floor. Now, David Lane is General Manager of Social Inclusion at Cork Kerry Community Healthcare, and he showed me around.
We're in a unit in Blackpool. We have a number of services that are operating out of the building here, actually. So we have a presence in terms of addiction services here for the last 12 years. So the National Clinical Programme for Dual Diagnosis has been established, and one of the teams is based here in the city, based in this building now. So we're really excited about some of the progress that's happening around dual diagnosis and supporting people who have challenges in relation to mental health and addiction.
So does that mean then, David, if I walk in here, that I'll be met with all the services under the one roof here? Is there a full complement? Is there a full team in place?
So we're working towards that. So we don't have the full team in place yet.
What percentage of the team is in place?
So we probably have around 85% of the team in place at this point in time. And other posts are being recruited as we speak. By the end of the first quarter of this year, our full team will be in place.
What's the difference with having this network team on site here now?
This is consultant-led. This team is part of a national clinical programme, and we have a consultant psychiatrist who's leading the team.
But so the addiction services then are knitted together pretty much from the off?
Absolutely. And look, I mean, one of the posts that we are recruiting at the moment is a senior addiction counsellor.
You're happy enough the funding's in place?
It is, absolutely. But again, look, we want to grow services. We want to look at, you know, there's a new national drug strategy going to be launched this year, and they're obviously going to have to incorporate the findings and the recommendations of the Citizens' Assembly. So that's really important. I suppose part of what we'll be looking for in terms of addiction services, and I suppose the partnerships that we forge with mental health services as well, is that we actually get additional resources to support people who need help.
There are echoes there, Brian, of the CAMHS model, where you have a consultant psychiatrist and then the multidisciplinary team in place.
Absolutely. And I suppose we've been hearing in this series about how sometimes people can present to psychiatric services with, for example, an active addiction, and they might be redirected to addiction services. So I suppose having the whole team connected, as David Lane outlined, with addiction and psychiatric services combined, should help prevent that happening. That is if the teams are in place, because there is growing concern now at whether what was planned in national policy will actually transpire. I'll come back to that, because I did speak to Dr. Sinead O'Brien, who is the consultant psychiatrist for the Cork Mental Health Services. This is some of what she had to say about the makeup of these new network teams.
This team is very responsive in terms of the time from referral to actually meeting with the individual. It's usually a matter of days. This would be a cohort that sometimes may not always attend, but the initial figures are suggesting that 4/5 of people have engaged with the dual diagnosis team.
From talking to people who have had a dual diagnosis or who are in recovery, one of the criticisms they would have had was that they present to psychiatry and psychiatry psychiatry tells them you need to present to addiction services. So in effect, they're bounced from pillar to post.
I do recognise that, and I think it is that learning that has led to, I suppose, the development of the model.
I would have heard a lot of criticisms where people would say, one team wasn't talking to my addiction team. There wasn't communication between the two.
That collaboration and that communication is key. We actually need to integrate all our services to get the best value for that individual.
It seems so strange now that we did separate out services in our overall national policy. And maybe there's a belated recognition now we got that wrong.
I think what you can clearly see here today is the enthusiasm. We have already seen the effects of the dual diagnosis team. And when you can, I suppose, deliver a service that is clearly making a change for people, that's how you'll attract people to work in them.
In terms of the presentations you're seeing now, you mentioned the housing crisis. I'd imagine it's a massive factor if you go back 20 years ago.
There's no doubt that the pressures are felt. We're seeing, I suppose, widespread, all the different drugs, you know, are being used. Certainly in my clinical team, we see a lot of cannabis associated with psychosis. There is a huge focus on the area of opioids and cocaine. Here in this building, there's a big focus on benzodiazepine reduction. You know, there is great merit in, you know, progressing in a stepwise manner and looking at harm reduction. It isn't an all or nothing phenomena, and you can actually see incremental improvements in both the addiction and the mental health at the same time.
The fodder matching model is long gone.
Yeah.
Now that all sounds very promising, but we know there's meant to be 12 of those teams and we only have two adult teams and they're not fully staffed. So what's the timeline, Brian, for the rest?
Well, I've been trying to get some answers from both the HSE and the Department of Health. We have a new programme for government, obviously. We have a HSE service plan. You might expect, Claire, to find detail on such a significant change in mental health and addiction services in either of those, but there's very little detail. Now, someone who's been listening to our series and has himself raised issues with the HSE CEO is Sinn Féin health spokesperson David Conlan. He spoke to me.
The proposed model of care for dual diagnosis is heavily linked to a person's overall mental health services. It includes addiction, primary care, community mental health and specialist mental health services. And all of those were to be involved in what were then to be dual diagnosis teams. 12 teams were recommended for adult services, 4 hubs for young adults and adolescents, and then an additional residential unit. Only 2 of the 12 dual diagnosis teams for adults are up and running, and even at that, they're not fully staffed. And what's more worrying is that the programme for government is very weak in mentioning any of these areas. It gives a very vague commitment to increase staffing to under 18 dual diagnosis services, but there's no mention of the 12 dual diagnosis teams. There's no mention of the 4 hubs for young adults and adolescents, and no mention of the residential unit. And what's really frustrating is all parties in the Dáil signed up to Vision for Change because it is really good. But as we know, people's experience, and certainly those who work in the sector, is that while the policy and the vision is very good, the delivery across a lot of these areas has been quite poor.
And I think you were saying, based on some of our reporting, you engaged with the HSE CEO, Bernard Gloucester. Did you get any responses?
Well, I've engaged with Bernard Gloucester directly. I've asked him to come back to me with a full breakdown and time frame as to when all of these teams would be delivered. I did say to him that I was disappointed that the programme for government had not given clear commitments, and even the HSE service plan is not clear in terms of any time frames to deliver on these teams. So he has committed to come back as soon as possible with an update as to where the existing teams are and what plans are in place to further advance the other teams, because all of these services are badly needed, as I said, for some of the most vulnerable people who use our health services.
That is David Cullinan there. So you did ask the HSE and the Department of Health for an update, Brian.
Yes, and I did ask to interview Minister Mary Butler as well, who has responsibility in this area, but I was told she isn't available for interview. The Department of Health confirmed that this new model of care was launched in 2023. It recommended, as we've been outlining, these 12 adult units, the 4 adolescent hubs and a national rehabilitation centre. And then they confirmed 2 adult teams, 2 adolescent teams are operational. They say funding in the most recent in budget has been made now for two additional dual diagnosis teams, and they're working to recruit into these teams that will be operational sometime this year. I asked them about timeframes, as David Colnam was outlining there. There are no clear timeframes in the HSE service plan. And what the Department of Health said is that this area is a priority for the Minister, for the Government and the Health Service. The location of these teams will be informed by several factors, including wider service developments and service demands. And this is all in line with recommendations of the Model of Care and the National Clinical Programme.
Now, Brian, before you go, this series on this topic, it was supported by the Rosalind Carter Fellowship for Mental Health Journalism in partnership with Shine. And you're one of two recipients of the fellowship. It was set up by former US President Jimmy Carter's wife, Rosalind. So tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it brings together, this fellowship, about 10 mental health journalism professionals from across the world. We all met in Atlanta in October, and you're supported throughout the year by a team of international experts. You have a number of mentors. So I'm one of two recipients in Ireland. The second recipient is Newstalk's Claire Darmody. And we're provided, I suppose, really with training and support during the year. And we then return to Atlanta, to the Carter Centre, where President Carter's presidential library is located, where his private apartment was, for example. And we deliver our work, and that's evaluated and it's discussed with a wider team of experts. So it's just been a really good opportunity, I think, to step outside your normal day to day and be supported by this network of international experts from across the US and wider afield in the area of mental health journalism. So it's been a very positive experience, I think, so far. Details of the fellowship, I think, will open in March for next year. But as I said, return to Atlanta and then present some of this work to the Carter Centre and to some of the international fellows.
Okay, that's the Rosalind Carter Fellowship for Mental Health Journalism in partnership with Shine. And that was Brian O'Connell's report. After the break, should we be more worried about microplastics in the brain?
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.